it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to what is basically week two of the Foot Weekly podcast. We're properly into EAFC 24 now, although the game hasn't technically released yet. We're still in that early access window. And we have with us, as you'd expect, foot legend Air Japes. Welcome back.
Thank you much, Ben. Glad to be back. Plenty of things to talk about. Lots of fun ahead.
Definitely. And as you'd probably also expect, we have Josh Excels with us. Hello, welcome back as well.
Yes, thank you. It's been a fun few days, hasn't it? Yeah,
it certainly has. And the previous two guests you'd expect, obviously, but our next guest hasn't been on for a while, and it is a pleasure to have him back. Hello to game critic and consultant Brammers.
Hey, yes, it's Brammers. Hello. Thank you very much for having me. I'm excited to be back and excited to get stuck into discussing all things EA Sports Quick Step Plus 24.
Yeah, and actually, we probably won't get that much of a chance, or we will talk about gameplay a bit, but we'll do it a bit more on this week's supporter episode. And Neil Guides is going to join us, so that'll be good. But let's move on to something I've been looking forward to since, well, EAFC 24 was announced, and that is the first pound-for-pound powerhouse of this new cycle. And as always at the start of the cycle, yes, this can be the best player from the market, from the SBC section, from objectives, but it doesn't have to necessarily be recent content. Well, because pretty much everything is recent content. So yeah, it'll be interesting. There should be some pretty cheap players here, I'm sure. And we'll start with the listener nomination, which comes in from Hav. He went for Delphine Cascarino, who's the Lyon women's right wing. He says, there's some saying the Quickstep Playstyle Plus, as Brammers mentioned, is OP and likely to be meta. There's only 10 players with it in the game, and one of them is Cascarino. She feels insanely fast and tricky on the ball, a classic gun and run week one powerhouse for your wing play chaos. Super fun to use, and currently 25k, she's the cheapest player with this playstyle, including Mbappe, R9, Vinny, Etu, and Alphonso Davies for company. She's got some amazing links as well. Bakker and Gayoro could both be pound for pound shouts too. Yeah, a strong starting point, and many of the women's players have just risen exponentially. Rolfo would be a good example. I'm sure there's some, I don't know, patron trading hype or something going on there, but went from 20 to 100K, I think, in 24 hours. So yeah, the market is catching up with how good these players are. And let's move on to our least frequent guest, who would be Brammers. Who have you got for us?
Well, so yeah, I mean, I mentioned Quickstep Plus because I have probably my most exciting experience with the game so far was realizing how good my untradeable Moussa Diaby was. Mm. That also has Quickstep Plus. Not exactly a pound for pound candidate, because I think he's now up to about 75k or something. But I mean, like, because it's week one, there are so many possibilities. It's really, really difficult to, I mean, you're spoiled for choice. So I thought about maybe Darwin Nunez because he's great for evolutions, or that James Maddison player of the month because the dead ball playstyle plus is also extremely effective. Mm. The other one I had was Mary Earps, the Manchester United goalkeeper, because she's the only good goalkeeper I've managed to find in the game so far, somewhat bizarrely. Like, I've tried Ramsdale, Pope, Edison, they all just jump out of the way of the ball, but Earps has been brilliant. So I kind of wanted to put her, but actually I'm going to go with Chloe Kelly, who is, she doesn't have playstyle plus quick step, but she does have regular quick step. She's only about 12K. Four-star, English and Man City links, and like lots of really good stats. So, you know, high, high work rates, 81 composure, 83 reactions, decent agility and balance, pretty near max pace with a hunter. So lots of good stuff. She's got whipped cross playstyle plus, which I know Josh likes, and a few other playstyles as well, trickster, flare, technical and dead ball. But the thing for me is she's just got this incredible, unique run animation. It's kind of like Raheem Sterling on steroids. Just like the arms go flying out and it just looks incredible. Like she's doing a Naruto run all the time. So those things for me add up to a great player. And also she has scored a whole bunch of goals for me in Rivals so far. So she's my pick.
Yeah. How she doesn't have five-star skills, I'm not sure. People can look up various compilations of her doing skills really, really effectively as well. But yeah, I'm sure special items of these players will get five-star skills and things. Right, let's move on to you, Josh. Who are you going to go for?
I'm going to go with somebody I think I mentioned in the first pod we did last week, which is Inform Mats Hummels. I was lucky enough to pack him untradeable, and he's just brilliant and a real kind of tick in the box of making informs usable and giving them kind of big upgrades in stats that maybe need an upgrade to be in line with whatever we're calling the power curve at this point, you know, the beginning of the game. Because he's been given 70 pace. I think it's a plus 17 from his base card. And he's just like, in terms of a defender that you go, oh, they're just really good at winning the ball back. He is that defender for me. He's alongside Varane, who's really good, but Hummels is the standout, and not just because he's looks incredibly tall and wide on the pitch. He's got the intercept playstyle plus, and is just like, it's difficult to describe what it's like using a player that is not traditionally kind of good in the game, but is absolutely brilliant now. And obviously you give him a shadow because he still only has 70 pace, but even his passing is beautiful. I think he's got 84 short passing and 88 long passing on just on base stats. Yeah, I can't say enough about him. The other thing that he has that I think is really noticeable as well, because he's so big, is at corners, he's the person that tends to go and attack the ball, and he's got the aerial play style. He scored a lot of corners for me.
He does look really good. 25k. I don't know whether you mentioned the price, but that feels...
Maybe I didn't mention the price. Yeah, 25k. I mean, he was 13k just before early access started, and that just seemed ludicrous.
Yeah.
But I still think 25k for a week one informs pretty good.
Yeah, some strong contenders so far, James. Yeah.
He feels like he could be 40k in no time.
Yeah. I mean, how does he compare to other Bundesliga centre-backs? I feel like there's not such a sort of plethora of options this cycle, right?
Yeah, there's not a lot of fast Bundesliga centre-backs that are good. You've got Kim Min-jae's probably the pick of them. I don't know if he's any good. I've not used him, but just in terms of like fast centre-backs.
I've used a variety of Bundesliga centre-backs so far. Kim Min-jae, I couldn't justify price relative to performance because he was outperformed by Upamecano. So Upamecano was an easy one to keep in. So far, Upamecano has felt the most like solid to me, but I have not used Inform Hummels. And the second most solid, like kind of right on level in some ways, like I was shocked how good Zula was.
Interesting.
And like not overly impressed with De Ligt, but Zula, I was like, maybe it's because I wasn't expecting much from him, but he was just like awesome.
Have you tried channel Schlotterbeck?
I have not tried Schlotterbeck yet.
Okay.
Because he seemed a little too competitive for the way that I like to pick cards up in the beginning.
How do you mean by that?
When I'm, I guess, starting out, what I mean is like, I'm not going to like overly fight for cards, if that makes sense. Like, I'll just throw on some open bids in the very beginning for cards that I don't think are like super meta, just so I can try them. And Schlotterbeck falls into that category. So he hasn't been giving a run because he got sort of looped into that, like perhaps like Bundesliga meta, where people were like actively seeking him out. Whereas like I've tried, you know, De Ligt and stuff, and De Ligt was pretty good. Not like unbelievably good though.
I also think for 20% of the price to get Zula, who's higher rated and is better defensively and physically, like, he's a little bit slower. It is one of those, you know, I'm sure we'll get into what you're going to do at the beginning of the game, but building a starter team, you
Zula's just brilliant.
Yeah, Zula's great for a starter team. Also, if you look at his stats, his like sprint speed is quite high.
Mm. It's like in the 80s, isn't it?
It is. So with the shadow on it, he feels like once he gets up to speed, he's like pretty rapid. Mm. I will say I also have gone out and purchased, because I'm kind of terrible at defending. So I sort of spent all my coins and went out and bought Blanc and Cannavaro.
Oh, wow.
And I'm not sure that I can like at this point like tell the difference between like a super, super noticeable difference between like that group of players.
I think icons at this point, like they've shot up in the last maybe few days, but obviously initially because people didn't have the coins, they were quite cheap. I picked up Essien, who's just been actually ridiculous. If you look at his playstyles, not just plus, but playstyles, they're all really, really helpful. Things like press proven, compensating a lot for the fact his ability on the ball in terms of dribbling isn't particularly amazing. But he's obviously not pound for pound. But the player I will actually nominate is Majri, who I mentioned on the last podcast, said was really good, but I feel like I need to properly nominate her for pound for pound now, having used her even more. And as a left centre mid, using her actually going slightly further forward in a three, but also actually even in a two, because she's high defensive, medium attacking, and has good defensive stats, she's been exceptional. And I actually packed Bellingham untradeable, and I think she's better. Like I've at least enjoyed her much more. Yeah, she has 5-star skills, which might be partly why.
Wow. But people have been like really raving about Bellingham.
Yeah, he's been good. That's probably underselling him, and I haven't used him for as many games, so I'll get used to him, I'm sure. But she also has tiki-taka, technical flair, trickster even, Trivella, and her playstyle plus is whipped pass, I think it is, which isn't especially useful. But if you're playing her on the left side of a midfield three, she can often get into positions to cross it. And just so good on the ball. And having that kind of mobility in the midfield, it just feels like a luxury you don't normally get at this stage of the cycle, unless you've got Jesus Corona in, of course. Really like her, and would definitely put her forward for 3.4K. I don't think you're going to get much better as an attacking midfielder or even a midfielder in a two. She can play left wing as well and centre mid as well as the CAM default position. Right. I realise I've slightly snuck in before you there, James. Hopefully I didn't take yours.
Yeah, you did, Ben, but that's okay. I'm just kidding. You did not. Mine is going to be Alex Morgan. I know she's expensive. Mm. I was fortunate to pack her untradeable, but her finesse shot is like bonkers. Mm. She like is seemingly icon level and will win you games by herself.
Wow.
Last I saw, she was maybe like 50K. She's probably gone up since then as people like start to realize how crazy she is. She's obviously super easy to link to because there are plenty of great US women's players in the NWSL. And I just think she's like going to be hard to get out of my team, which I was not expecting to say, but that's the case. That's where we are right now.
Nice. And also, it feels like, and a few people have mentioned this, goalkeepers are, you know, pretty bad at the moment. I was wondering though, Japes, do you think this is because people are using bad keepers? Because like, it's not very common, especially with the price range situation with goalkeepers at the moment, that you come up against actually good ones or the ones people use for most of the cycle.
I don't know if I think they're necessarily bad at the moment. I don't think I've made up my mind on them.
Mm. What about you, Josh? What do you think about the keepers at the moment?
I think it depends. Like in pure one-on-one situations, it's probably too easy to dribble past them. They tend to like commit way too hard. But there's also situations where like they make very good snapshot saves in the box. I think the problem is that defending is quite hard this year, you know, compared to previous years, because it feels a lot more manual, but also you get punished a lot more if you try and make a tackle and don't get the ball. Mm. And so I think people are just giving up way more opportunities than they're used to. And so the games are quite high scoring. And so therefore it must be the keeper, or the keeper's not saved it. I think for me, precision shooting is probably one of the biggest reasons I feel like I'm scoring a lot of goals, because...
Are you using it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you're not using precision shooting, I have a feeling you're going to end up being left behind.
Interesting.
It's
okay.
So, so good.
Ugh, I'm bad with it.
There's an adjustment period massively, and there's still situations where, you know, it goes out for a throw-in. But cross-keeper, even the, especially Travellers from outside the box, it's lightning good. It's so, so good. And I feel like the keepers very rarely catch the ball as well. There's always a, you know, palming it over, or, you know, it comes back into the play. And when, if you've got a good striker that's got good attacking positioning, they tend to anticipate it a lot better, and good reactions too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is interesting, because I used it a lot in the beta and I had some success with it, but I just thought it's not something that I want to pile on top of the many things to learn at the start of the game. So I haven't enabled it yet, but I will. And maybe you've given me the kick to do it now, actually.
I've lost games because I've had it on. So if you're like concerned about winning or losing at the moment, like, don't use it.
Yeah.
The games that I end up losing are the ones where I have two quality chances, maybe. Mm. And I get like a little, I suppose, like panicky, or lose like a little composure on those chances, and just don't, it's like not ingrained in my brain yet.
Mm. I feel like now is probably the time to do it though, isn't it? Because, you know, we're not into champs yet. We got a bit of time.
I just can't. I honestly though, I think I'm going to actually disagree with Josh. I don't know if it's, I would say it's like actually that much better.
I'm not sure anyone could say for sure right now, but we'll see. What I was going to ask actually though, on this topic, it might be a good time to practice now before champs. I think it actually says in game that champs is starting this weekend, but there's no way that's going to happen, right, Bram? It's always been like 2 weeks until champs starts, and people only get the game on Friday, right?
It would be crazy if it started this weekend. I don't see how it can. My expectation would be a week after launch, full launch, if not even 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, like, who is even going to have the rivals points to go into playoffs?
Yeah, it would be like the sweatiest champs ever. It would be such a small pool of players. So yeah, I'm sure it would be a little bit longer. How are you feeling about keepers actually in shooting, Bramers?
Well, I mean, I suppose I should get this out of the way. I still haven't learned how to do time finishing or time shooting, whatever the hell it's called.
For God's sake.
You're just going to have to add it to the backlog. I haven't done precision shooting, time finishing. So, you know, they need to stop adding these mechanics, because the backlog is already overwhelming. But no, I've had terrible time with goalkeepers. I was using, I think I mentioned Nick Pope and Ramsdale, who you would assume would be like okay starter goalkeepers. And they were just, they were terrible. I find keepers kind of drop the ball in weird ways now. Like, they'll drop it just inside the near post, or they'll, I mean, they still do the thing from last year where they just kind of dive out of the way of a shot across the goal. Like, there's a thing in game development called animation pairing, which you see a lot in like fighting games, where if you do a certain move, then the other character tries to match the animation, so it looks really fluid and cool. And I always got the impression that the animation pairing was a bit off with shooting and goalkeeper diving last year, because it would make no sense for you to be shooting across goal and the goalkeeper to literally dive under it. But if anything, it's worse this year from what I've seen. Then again, like, those have been on like the sort of the low end goalkeepers. So maybe once they sort out price ranges and everyone's rocking like Alisson and Oblak and whatever, it'll get better. And I definitely saw a huge change as soon as I gave Mary Earps a try. Like, she will actually save things I would expect goalkeepers to save.
Mm. Were you saying you didn't find Edison that good?
I probably misspoke. I haven't used Edison very much yet. I only packed him untradeable, I think, yesterday evening. So I'm going to give him a go.
Okay, that makes sense. Because I was going to say, I found him a huge improvement. And he's only on, I think, one or two chem even for me over Diogo Costa, who I was using for chem previously. It was quite noticeable. And I do wonder whether a lot of the complaints about goalkeepers are because of the quality of goalkeeper for the rest of the cycle. People will be using, you know, at least 84 plus rated goalkeepers, probably realistically higher. That was the case quite quickly last cycle. So we'll see.
No, yeah, I mean, I was just going to say, the thing I'm really excited for is the inevitable Mary Earps midfield card that we'll get at some point in the spring. This year's Vanja.
Yeah, the five-star Earps with the dynamic from the Euros as well, I hope.
Absolutely.
Just on the topic of goalkeepers and just players in general, don't go and buy a player thinking that you're getting them for the cheapest price, because lots of the price ranges are broken at the moment. I know it's been mentioned a few times, but they seem to be like minimum price ranges set for some ratings, and the players are at the bottom of those price ranges. So it's a very easy way to lose coins right now.
Yeah, I think to Stegen's like, what, 212k or something minimum, which is obviously ridiculously high. One thing I was thinking from a sort of trading perspective though, is there might be a big flood of these players, right, when the price ranges do get updated. And that might be an investment opportunity, because if they all get listed around the same time, once people realize price ranges are updated and they can sell, there might be an opportunity to buy in. And I often find goalkeepers every year are something that kind of rises a bit later than other players, because they're not really seen as a priority until we start to get towards that champs window, I'd say. And also, you know, they're good fodder too, of course. Right, on that, let's take a break and we'll be back to talk about evolutions. Hello, listener. An important thing to say here is that there's a 36,000 FC point giveaway going on the Patreon. And not only that, but there's a free trial as well. So you can get access and listen to support episodes for a limited window. And then if you'd like to, you can continue to stay and support for just £3 a month. And you'll get double the podcast content. There really has never been a better time to support if you've been considering doing so. And the way you can find that is by just searching Support for Weekly or following the link in the description of this podcast. You can also go to bit.ly/morepod. It'd be a pleasure to have you as a supporter of the pod. And if you consider doing so, a huge, huge thank you. Let's jump back into the podcast. Hello, welcome back after the break. Let us talk evolutions, and maybe we just go around and ask what people have done in terms of their evolutions so far, if they have. Brammers, why don't you start us off? Have you done any, and what have you done if you have?
I have. I've done all the evolutions except for Relentless Winger. Golden Glow Up or whatever it's called, I don't really want to talk about, because I kind of misunderstood how it was going to work, and I just put in... I put in the Fulham midfield guy. I can't even remember his name. And he's terrible, and his upgraded card is irrelevant to me already. So we just gloss over that one. But I did put Darwin Nunez into founder evolution one is, because his base card. And I hear your grunt of disapproval, Shapes, and I absolutely understand it. His shot power is quite something, even on his base card. And I haven't fully evolved him yet, because I've tried to do the founder evolution milestone, which weirdly seems to have to be done with an in-progress version. But even as the 83 with an extra star weak foot, it's been great. I have been enjoying him a lot. The other one I did was Ansu Fati. Oh, into... Was it the welcome one, possibly? I was just kind of playing around with it. And I knew I would have cards that were better than that soon, and that they would be putting out more evolutions soon. So I didn't want to get sort of overly wound up about which players I used. But I haven't done Relentless Winger, and I don't think I'm going to, just because I find it kind of obnoxious that they're charging for that.
Mm.
And I don't want to pay 50k for it, because you could buy a better card for 50k anyway. So,
yep, I think that's good logic. Josh, what about you? What have you done so far?
I'm in a weird spot with evolutions because, foot.gg, the most popular players page, is literally just all evolutions players. Mm. And it's, Brammers has given us a great rundown of the most popular ones to do there. And for me, I kind of felt like I wanted to, because I don't think evolutions are going to be the bleeding edge of people's squads. I think you're always going to have better players. And so I want a project, or I want players that I care about. And so on my main account, I've gone for a project, and it's going to be Borussia Dortmund, mainly because they've got the team in the third division. So if there's another bronze one, because they do have a midfielder that works in the bronze one, but if there's another bronze one, I can go and use the third division and kind of still keep within the Dortmund umbrella. And so I've had Haller up front, who I've also not completed because I'm trying to get the games up for the in-progress evolutions. And he is very, very fun to use. But what I did do on a separate account is there is a player who can play centre-back and central midfield in La Liga. He's got a bit of a tough nation for linking, in that he's from Mauritania, and he's Abdullahi Mahmoud. And he starts off as a 62-rated central midfielder, but because he can play centre-back, you can put him in Pacey Protector and then put him in the Golden Glow-Up. And so he ends up as an 84-rated central midfielder who can play central defence with 80 pace, 82 defending, 88 physical, and 79 dribbling, 76 passing, so really good in those stats. He's 6'2". The fact that he's 2-star, 3-star doesn't really matter as much because he's a centre-back. And I was also interested to see what stats were actually upgraded in the in-game stats rather than just the face card stats. And he did get a nice little plus 23 in his composure, which was nice to know that that is being upgraded.
So. Hey,
It should be said actually, in terms of how the upgrades work, it isn't as simple as just plus 3 shooting, it's plus 3 finishing. It does slightly change. So if a player has much higher finishing, for example, than shot power, you'll notice that they're getting a bigger boost to their finishing than their shot power. It's actually a similar formula that they used for the team of the week in the past to boost those in a kind of more interesting way, but across the board. So that's worth bearing in mind. Actually, Josh, who was the player? Because I kind of missed his name. And also, how did you find him?
Using foot.gg's amazing Evo Lab, by the way. If we're talking pound for pound of the first week of the cycle, the Evo Lab has been amazing. Abdullahi Mahmoud. Mahmoud. I think he's the one of only a few Mauritanians on the game. I can't think of another one off the top of my head, if you'll forgive me my lack of ball knowledge. Yeah, there's four others. But yeah, he's one of the largest upgrades in terms of starting rating to that final rating that actually has a decent card at the end.
Oh yeah, I see him now. Wow. Yeah, so for those who don't know, on the foot.gg site, you can see the evolutions for players, but not just that, you can see combined evolutions. So as Josh is saying, you can put him through Pacey Protector, then Golden Glow Up, and then Golden Glow Up Part 2. So yeah, interesting. He's also got good work rates, isn't he?
Yeah, medium high, because obviously you're probably going to play him at centre back, despite the fact that he ends up with 76 passing on his card, but his in-game stats is 92 short passing, 83 long passing, 87 vision.
Damn, that's quite a card. Japes, what are your thoughts on this at the moment?
I haven't touched them. I'm leaning towards like leaving them to the very end of the time that you can do them. The strategy that right now I'm leaning towards is I've been looking at cards that I'm considering doing. The criteria that I'm basing my current lean on, at least, revolves around the club that they play for, so linkability, and the number of playstyles they already have. Because like you can boost stats, but playstyles are seemingly going to be much more challenging to just like get up. And at least to me right now, they seem to be making potentially like outsized impacts. I've been looking at the Welcome to Evolutions one and then trying to figure out if I can do a card that's, you know, a CM has quite a few play styles already, and then put him in the Golden Glow Ups Part 2, or him or her. So I'm toying around with the idea of Kakarei actually at the moment. Which is, I think, not like obviously would not be a like particularly popular choice, but he has some nice play styles, and I feel like the smarter move here is to evolve a card with that has some built-in play styles to try to get one that has many play styles. Does that make sense?
Yeah. He's an interesting one actually, because that thing I was saying about it boosting the high rated stats more, he's got some good ones which are already quite high. So like agility, 86, bounce, 85, 83 aggression, 86 stamina, whereas quite low strength and jumping. So, you know, those things don't matter so much anyway. That's not really his style of play. So you can just see that becoming a really, really kind of, I guess, meta card in those particular areas which are important, which is quite good. And also he's high, which is something that obviously won't change. So that's a nice option. And obviously Leon have a lot of, especially with the women.
Leon have a bunch of interesting cards on the women's side, which I've been really enjoying that Diani card still. And actually, like, shout out, if you're on the keeper question, I've had Leon's women's keeper.
Endler,
Yeah, she's great. I haven't used too many keepers, but she feels pretty solid.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't been like, oh no, she's 6 feet tall too. So
yeah.
I don't know. That's kind of my lean right now. Yeah. French players are always safe bets. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've considered doing like going the Matthias Tell route, obviously for Bayern, but his silver card is very expensive. And like, if I look at his boosted stats, I'm kind of like, where does this actually get me?
Yeah.
You know, like he would have 5-star weak foot though, I believe, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, it's nice that the founder one gives a weak foot boost. And I think my tip with the founder evolution is it might just be worth doing that on someone who's even lower rated just to have them for a future evolution potentially, because I'm not sure how often we'll see an increase in weak foot where you can take it to 5-star weak foot. That is really handy. So if you can submit them into a future evolution, upgrade them further, and you've got that in the bank, if you like, I think that is probably a good way to go. I'm in a similar situation myself. I'm bad when it comes to, what is it, like choice paralysis. I feel like I always struggle to, you know, decide on something and do it. So I haven't done it yet. I may even try and wait until the next batch of evolutions, because I'm assuming we'll get a few that come out while we still have the ones we have, and then can, you know, go on foot.gg and see where you can take players now, because at the moment they're just not going to make a huge amount of difference to my team. And I imagine for those of us who've played quite a bit over the last couple of days, that may be the case, especially with the, you know, decent untradeable packs. And actually, this was reflected by a question from Mutawa saying a similar thing about maybe them not being so useful for committed players currently. And also then Bertisak was following up with a point about whether maybe the packs that we've had so far have almost been too strong because of the Nike Ready promo offering some really good pack rewards, the season packs being fairly straightforward to get and quick to get. How do you feel, Josh, they're managing the power curve at this point? Do you think it is starting off a bit quick?
Yes, but also no. So, like, I definitely think we've had way more packs at the beginning than ever before, but it has been a trend that has been happening over recent years. I do think there's going to come a point for those committed players by the end of this week, really, where all of those easy packs are now done and you're now kind of waiting quite a while before you get that next pack. I think the problem is that everything you've opened beforehand has given a lot of people incredible untradeable squads that they don't really need all that much else to add to them. Until, you know, we hit Road to the Knockouts, which will be the first promo on Friday. And but there's a separate point to this, and I think it does link in well to the Evo's question, which is that I feel like there's a push this year for different ways of creating your ultimate team rather than the ultimate team. And by using Evo's and by using playstyles specifically, and I do think we'll see a lot of them added into promos, you know, you can start building a team that is maybe not the absolute best, but is still just as competitive and will still get you the wins you'd usually get, or still get you to that point where you're comfortable playing. And if that's the case, I actually don't mind that we're being given lots of packs and they're open to a lot of these big players, but I definitely think we're going to see quite a slowdown, and it will then be about waiting for rewards or waiting for that next big objective to get a load of XP to get the next big pack in seasons. Because it was a bit mad getting an 80x10 and an 83x10, or, you know, an 84x2 and an 84x5, depending on your proclivity.
You ready for my, I don't know if it's tinfoil hat theory, but I actually think that the strategy from an EA perspective is like pretty clear here. And it's a business one, 110%. I think they're trying to early level condition users into what it feels like to get lots of packs right away. And people like that feeling. And when that then is taken away from you or brought down, much like the addicts we all are, what are we going to do?
That's a good point.
We're going to go out and buy points because we want to keep that level of growth and increase in our squad and the feeling of opening that many packs over and over and over again. And if you set that precedent right from the start, I believe there's like a higher likelihood that more folks, like I felt that draw myself to be like, oh man, I got so many packs like right away here. Like I want to keep opening. Like there's so many good cards out there. What if I get one? And I think that's the level that it's on.
I agree with Japes completely. I think that they are conditioning us to want to open lots and lots of packs, and I think that it's working. Like Japes says, you feel that pull. The other thing on this topic, though, and perhaps slightly more positive from not calling EA vampires perspective, is the game is kind of more supportive now of having multiple squads. I've typically only have one big squad, but it's been noticeable over the last couple of years they've done more like champs objectives around specific leagues and whatever is encouraging it. But this year, like, one thing that's really helping with it is the position change thing. Like I got is it Reeton from Chelsea, the left winger? who is fantastic and plays at CAM or left wing. And in one of my squads, she's at CAM, and in another, she's at left wing.
Yeah.
And it's just fine. So that's been quite nice. And obviously with a huge volume of cards coming into your clubs from all these packs, it is feasible to have multiple squads and to just kind of play the game in lots of different ways.
Yeah. I would also say, you know, for those who may be tempted because there is this influx of packs and that might start to dry up, there are plenty of packs available throughout the season, although you may not progress through the season as quickly without the boost that we've had early on. But also remember, we are going to be getting better and better Rivals rewards as you progress through Rivals. And also, you've got Champs coming eventually as well. So you can look to the horizon and see some packs that are available for people who aren't spending on the game. So I would just bear that in mind. The one other thing I wanted to mention here, because people may be peering at them thinking, oh, that's somewhere I can get some juicy packs, is the milestone objectives. What would you recommend, Josh, in terms of those that, you know, people should be looking into? I mean, there's a fair time commitment, but there are ways, obviously, of speeding those up quite a lot, but it's still a good amount of time, right, spent scoring goals and things.
Yeah, I would probably suggest that if you're somebody who's a fairly casual player of the game, don't try and, you know, bang out 400 goals as quickly as possible. Like, just let that happen over time. And even if you're a hardcore player, it's not always the best thing to do to get it out of the way, because you're going to end up with nothing to do. If you can get an 88 rated squad together, the Moments Mastery one is the easiest 100k pack you can get. It's very quick to just go through. You literally just have to score a goal within like 2 or 3 minutes of it starting, and you're essentially put in one-on-one. You know, getting an 88 rated squad isn't too difficult because fodder, that top level fodder, is still quite cheap. It is rising, but, you know, again, with the amount of packs we've been getting, and you can put loans in, especially in Moments, it's quite easy to get that. The League Mastery's quite an easy one to get. That's using Premier League, Liga, MLS, and then Women's Super League, so the English Women's League, the NWSL, so the American Women's League, and the French Women's League. If you get those, you only need 4 from each of those leagues, so you can do it in, you could put 2 in one squad, so it takes 30 games. That also gives you a 100k pack. They're probably the easiest ones to get done, and if you jump into a friendly with a mate who maybe can jump out of that friendly fairly quickly after you score, that will allow you to get it, and then you can do that back and forth. I will say, though, I have seen rumors. I've not actually friendly boosted so far, so I haven't had a lock yet. If you play too many games in an hour, the game will lock you out of matchmaking for a certain period of time. And that used to be about an hour. I have seen people say that it's been 12 hours for them until they've been able to play again. So maybe they've added in a much longer time now in that matchmaking lock to stop you from friendly boosting, because you've also got the bronze squads and the silver squads that you used to be able to do with friends, although they've made those 25 games this year, not 15. So there's a lot in there. First owned mastery is only 50 games now, so you should get that first owned pack fairly quickly. I think you end up with a 100k pack and a 50k pack at the end of that. And then, yeah, the easiest one for the goals and assists is probably finesse shots. You only need 75 finesse shots for a rare mega pack that got me an icon. So I think that would be the kind of way I would look at it. But I think if you're a more casual player, don't absolutely spam the milestones, because you will get them done eventually.
Yeah, I would say as well, go into milestones and check out those Moments objectives, because I think they are really good value for time, because you get the stars that you can spend in the star gallery or whatever it's called as well. So well worth doing. On that, we'll take a break, get refreshed for the final part of the pod. Hello, a quick note for those Golden Above supporters. You can join the Discord. So if you haven't done so already, do jump in there. There's an evolutions channel where people are sharing their evolutions and making recommendations. And there's loads of advice, including on how to open packets of crisps. So if that's something you're into, head over to the Discord. You can find it by going to bit.ly/poddiscordhelp. So that's bit.ly/poddiscordhelp. Right. On that, thank you very much for supporting, and let's get back into the pod. So after the break, I guess we're probably ending this on a slight negative here, because we're going to talk briefly about some issues with the game at the moment in terms of bugs and things, because it has just been a bit ridiculous how many errors, glitches, things like that you get, and having to restart the game quite frequently. The new menus in theory are great, but it's just been a bit of a nightmare. And I mean, it's not unusual for new games to have bugs, Brammers, but this has been very frustrating.
Oh gosh. Yeah, it's extremely glitchy in all sorts of ways at the moment. FC24. I regularly will just have directional input will just stop working because I've moved between a few screens and I have to close the application and start it again. Or just minor bugs in weird places, like objective sets not working. Like the moments round the world objectives don't work for me.
Mm.
And there's things like outside the game in the web app, you can't really search for chemistry styles on the market in the web app at the moment. Just no particular reason. So yeah, like there's the amount, I think probably this is the number of times it has crashed for me or I've had to restart the app has been way more than I've ever experienced with a new edition of previous FIFA games. And, you know, you kind of expect a certain amount of it because they've done some UI overhaul stuff, but I do hope they can get a handle on it because it's typical experience with one of these games is that the game is at its most responsive in menus early doors and then slightly deteriorates as the population server strain increases. So if they don't get a handle on it, you're going to have that coming in as well. And who knows, in a few weeks' time, we could all be moaning about the menus just endlessly.
Yeah, it is mad how much these menus make them. And yet, you know, clearly the resources aren't there to make sure that these bugs don't end up in the final version of a game. And I mean, I know that this is going to always happen at some level. I mean, I know this is always going to happen to some extent, but it does just seem kind of crazy. Not so many bugs in terms of gameplay itself, I guess. Obviously, there was the header bug that Jake's pointed out, which has now been recognised by EA in-game. And in fact, I don't think you can go into a match with that, which is kind of fascinating.
There is an in-game bug. Maybe not necessarily a bug, but if you're finding stuttering in actual matches itself,
yeah,
turn off the indicator that shows you when a Playstyle Plus is being used. There's an option in the menu to turn that indicator off and it will completely fix your stuttering. It will smooth out your gameplay massively.
Yeah, I have been finding that actually. That's good to know. One final thing then. We haven't mentioned Maddison or Kevin De Bruyne, two SBCs that have been released. Maddison is the player of the month and De Bruyne is a flashback, so lower rated, but you know, higher pace, does look very good. Anyone completing those? Anyone used them? Any thoughts just before we go?
I've used Maddison. I had used early doors the Zobrislai Liverpool card and noticed the dead ball plus or playstyle plus on him was incredibly good in terms of sort of free kick situations around the penalty box. The indicator line extends like almost all the way into the net and you can just kind of slide the ball all the way over the wall and into the top corner with unerring reliability. And I think Maddison is even better at it, which is really cool. And also just corners with the dead ball specialists are devastatingly effective from what I've seen. I've got regular Kevin De Bruyne, which is why I haven't bothered to do his flashback. Funnily enough, I was thinking of doing it and then untradeable Kevin De Bruyne just popped out of a pack. So that was that sorted. But every time he takes a corner, there's maybe like a 1 in 3 chance that the ball will just go to someone just straight without even adjusting the trajectory or anything. And they'll just pop it straight into the goal. And that's only with the regular play style. So the dead balls plus one should be, if anything, more effective.
Yeah. No, he looks good. I mean, you know, decentish value. Fodder's not obviously that high at the moment. Anyone done Kevin De Bruyne? A bit more expensive. I don't know. Just like SBCs at the start of the cycle. It's a bit weird.
I've done his lower rated squad, but I haven't done his high rated squad yet just because I haven't got the fodder and I'm not spending coins on an untradeable card at this point in the game.
Yeah.
He's one of those where I think if you've got the fodder or if you've put a load of FIFA points in, I'm sure he'll be a lot of fun. The walkout animation is delightful.
Mm-hmm.
He's not actually that expensive. He's got more expensive because fodder has gone up, but he's relatively affordable. I just think it's a bit too early to commit to a player like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's there so that all the people like you and me who are grinding the milestone packs end up with a high-rated duplicate and do the flashback Kevin De Bruyne. and the same for that Akpom, which you would definitely not do under most circumstances, but it's there for 29 days. Mm. And at some point, probably just after the first upgrade packs come out, we'll all have like that 187 or something sat in the duplicate untradeable pile thinking, oh, I've run out of quick set recoveries, what do I do? And there goes the first squad.
Yeah.
I know we're 3 days in, but I'm in dire need of an upgrade grind right now because I've got so many 81s and 82s I need to put into SBCs.
Yeah, it actually just reminded me, obviously, there was the squad foundations for Eredivisie, which, you know, they're not especially exciting, but maybe they'll be useful if, you know, you're building around that. But it is worth noting that Josh said to buy Eredivisie managers, and it was a good shout. But didn't do it himself, I know you said on Twitter. So
didn't do it myself, and they went to 5K.
Yeah, I think the best investments are the ones we say on the pod, but don't actually do. And before we go, any final things people want to mention before we wrap up?
I do have one thing that I just wanted to crow about my pack luck. Because for first time in, I don't know how many years they've been doing the 4,600 FC points, I actually got something good. Mm. And I got Neymar.
Ooh.
We were just sat there going through them, me and my kids. And I was like, Brazil, it's never left wing. Oh, it is left wing. Oh, I'll never. It is, in fact, Neymar. And he's amazing.
Yeah.
And I was really keen because he's like, you know, you've only just got the game. You're not just going to immediately sell him. And I thought, but typically my instinct would have been to sell him. And he's gone up in value a lot as well. So that was very nice. And I doubt, and hopefully that won't mean that that's all my pack luck forever. But
just on that as well, that thing of going, of the pack opening animation, there is a lot more trolls this year than there have been before. And I think because, as far as I'm aware, there's no walkout tell right now. I've not seen anybody go, this is a walkout tell. There's a lot of people that show clips starting at different times and so go, oh, look, the light begins there and it isn't over here, but it's exactly, I've had them side by side on two 4K monitors. I'm looking for the tell, believe me, there's no tell whatsoever.
Yeah, there's like firework truthers and stuff, aren't there? And but yeah, I can't see it either. But yeah, Kolo Muani is a really bad one. And
firework truthers, that's hilarious.
Yeah, maybe it's worth saying that there is a difference between rare and non-rare, because that is kind of useful to know. So if you're opening a fair few packs, rare is like a more gold color, the little light kind of crack that opens in the pack at the start, and then non-rare is like a kind of white. So that might be worth looking for if you're trying to speed through packs for whatever reason. Right, on that, we can wrap up. Thank you all for your input on this first proper, really, podcast of EAFC24. It's been a pleasure to get into it. And if you have any thoughts on anything you've heard on this podcast, then yeah, send them in at FootWeeklyPod on Twitter/X. You can do it in pod priority questions in the support Discord or on YouTube. In fact, you could post a comment with your thoughts, anything along those lines. Any way you want to get in touch, do it. And thank you very much, first of all, to Bram. It's great to have you back on the pod.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And I also just wanted to say, since I'm not on very often, Ben, thank you so much for all the hard work you've been doing with things like foot.gg, because it's making a huge difference, I think, to a lot of people's experience. Kudos to you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I can't take all the credit for that, but I've certainly been coming up with some ideas. So, yeah.
Well, I hope all the feedback gets to the right people.
I've got to say, the times of the green site, I think, are coming to the end.
Yeah. Which one, actually?
But they're being left behind currently.
Yeah, the orange era is here. But thank you very much to you, Josh, as well.
Yes, thank you. And to all our female listeners, I'm very sorry, but I am now off the market. I've been engaged since the last pod.
Congratulations.
Hey, congratulations.
God, I was worried there for a second you're going to say something controversial about women's players.
Ben was like, I didn't want to get cancelled until later on this year.
And Japes, thank you very much for coming on as well, of course.
Cheers. Always a pleasure. Mm-hmm. Exciting times ahead, and I'm sure plenty more things to discuss.
Indeed. Right, that does wrap us up. Thank you very much for tuning in, and a big, big thank you to all those supporters out there keeping the podcast going, including those Icon patrons. Dave B, Hugh J, Coach Vass, DJ FIFA Player, Alan G, Alistair, Anthony R, Dominic P, Rob P, Jeff B, Michael K, Stephen F, Tom B, Damon H, David S, Nick Jack M, Eric T, Neil P, Adam G, Kirky87, Dan W, Waterman, N Hagman, Harry A, Jake G, Roger D, Springford, Elec, Bracco, Nishant, Harry P, Alex M, Lee A, Brendan W, Andrew C, Joe W, Timothy J, Dylan, J Kel, Ibis24, Adam R, Sam K, Graham W, Andy, Ads H2K and Brian V. Plus a special thanks to Luke M, Dave B, Hugh J, Tom M, Darren W, and Pato Foot for advice and production assistance. Before I leave you, just one more thing to add, though. FIFA's a bit like life, really. It has its many ups and its many downs. If you're having a few more downs than ups in real life in these more difficult times, then please don't feel that you're alone or need to struggle on without taking action. If you go to thecalmzone.net, there's loads of resources, advice, support, or even just a friendly chat for anyone who needs it. If it sounds like it could help you, then head over to thecalmzone.net. And for now, have a good one, and I'll catch you on the next podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.